You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And we are back, another episode of breaking down the Ravens 2021 draft class. And here with me today to talk about it is Fox 43's Lindsey Barna. Lindsey, it seems like the Ravens had a very good draft, and I wanted to get your opinion and insights on it today, especially because the Ravens had a Penn State guy in their draft. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? And thanks so much for having me. How crazy is it that they actually took a Penn Stater as a round one draft pick? I just think that's so unbelievably awesome. But like, as you alluded to, it was a great year for a draft for the Ravens this year. Like, there really wasn't anything they could have. There wasn't a wrong pick for the Ravens, really.
No, there wasn't. There, people weren't, you know, overly excited about a few of those picks. But look, I think they're going to be people who have some disdain towards one or two picks just because they maybe don't know the player or they think a position of need could be filled somewhere else. But overall, I mean, it was a great draft and the Ravens felt very good about how the board fell to them. But Lindsey, let's get into the first round here. So we'll talk about the Penn State player at FAOA in a few minutes, but let's talk about their first pick. 27 overall, Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota. Rashad Bateman was someone who seemingly you couldn't go anywhere on Ravens Twitter, Ravens websites without seeing the name Rashad Bateman, the Ravens making the dream of many a reality. And I think that he has the potential to be a number one receiver. How surprised were you that the Ravens actually went and took a wide receiver for Lamar Jackson in the first round?
Honestly, not surprised at all. We spoke last week or the week before. It was either going to be an offensive guy, wide receiver, or an edge. And what did they do in the first round? They took them both. The options are really endless for Lamar right now. He has a handful of wide receivers he can go to. And I just think Bateman's going to be another guy that he's just going to be able to light up. It's the second wide receiver in the last 3 years that the Ravens have really chosen in the first round, Hollywood Brown in 2019. So you really couldn't go wrong. I just feel like the wide receivers were really going fast. And I'm surprised that he actually lasted until the 27th pick. But you really, if you go off his 2019 stats, he caught 60 passes for over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns. And for Big Ten players, I feel like you really couldn't take too much from 2020 because their season was pushed back and they didn't know if they were going to have a season. And when they finally did, I felt like it was a hurry up, get ready for the season, and let's just explode. But I think this is a great pickup for Lamar. I just think it's going to give him just even more confidence. And I think it's going to be the next big X factor, if that makes sense, for the Ravens.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think for Bateman, I think a lot of people were kind of shocked he was still there. I know Eric DaCosta had those comments during his pre-draft press conference about, hey, I'm insulted by the fact that people are insulting the wide receivers already on our roster and then goes ahead and takes two in the 2021 draft. So, you know, some of those pre-draft smoke screens might have worked, but I think this was a home run pick for the Ravens. Bateman is someone who I think he fills the need. You know, he's not an overly in-the-slot guy. He's not only a slot player. He plays on the outside, which I think is where he'll primarily be playing with the Ravens, and gives them another dimension to their offense. Such a sharp route runner. I mean, I was ecstatic with this pick. And Lindsey, I know here's the Penn State portion of the show. I know that you have a ton of knowledge on Penn State football and the Ravens getting a Penn State player of their own in Adafe Owe. And you mentioned it, the Ravens wide receiver, big need. They took it. Edge, big need. They took it. Back-to-back picks. They're big positions of need. How excited and happy are you that Adafe Owe is now in a Ravens uniform?
To be honest, and I wish I had a video of myself because I never guessed that. I call him just Jason. I know he wants to go to buy Odafe. And I just think this is so great for the program. I jumped up off my couch, screamed, woke up everybody in my house. But it was a great pickup for the Ravens just because he's a really a developmental player. And I think the Ravens have just been able to develop players that you never really saw going to the NFL. Yes, we saw Owe a chance. He has the talent to be there, but he's really only been on the football field for 5 or 6 years. And I don't think people understand that. So there's a lot of development to be had really with him. He didn't really have a breakout season in the 2020 season. Penn State struggled. He struggled. But it just like Bateman, he bounced back to his 2019 stats and he had 5 sacks. But his pro day, honestly, was the key. He was first in everything. First, just tallest, fastest, longest, most explosive. And they rated him a 10. Who gets a perfect 10 for pro day? I just think he made his presence known and he meant business. And that's why the Ravens kind of just picked him up and said, hey, I think we're going to give you a shot.
Yeah, and that was a theme, I think, throughout the entire draft for the Ravens. Very high athletic testers. I mean, getting a 10, unbelievable stuff. You know, that's something that's rarely heard of. And for Owe, you know, you talked about it a bit there, Lindsay. The 2019 production for guys like Bateman and Owe is stuff you look at because the 2020 season for the Big Ten in particular was kind of a weird one. And I mean, across the entire world, it was kind of a weird year. But you have to look at it as something where Owe was a disruptor and plays the run really well. And I think the Ravens want to develop him in a way that, you know, can help their defense out. And it's not like he wasn't getting to the quarterback. He just wasn't getting the quarterback down. It, you know, I know the sack production is huge and everybody looks to sacks and maybe a player who went a pick earlier in Greg Rousseau, who also has that kind of raw athletic profile, hasn't really played defensive end edge, 15 sacks. So that's big production, but he was a safety and was playing on offense. With Owe, you mentioned it, hadn't been on the football field for a while. He still has a lot of room to grow. I think this was a great pick, but Lindsay, I do want to ask you before we head into our first break about the Ravens' decision to not take an offensive tackle in the first round. Tevin Jenkins, the tackle out of Oklahoma State, was there for the Ravens at both picks. I know We talked a little bit about the need for an offensive tackle, and if there was a guy they liked, they could have taken him in the first round to protect Lamar Jackson. Did that shock you at all?
No, not really, to be honest. Like we said, the Ravens, they didn't really have a specific need. Yes, they wanted to help out Lamar as much as they could, but like we said before, wherever they chose was going to be a good pick for them. It didn't matter if it was wide receiver, DN, O-tackle. They just needed another step to their just strong points in their game. And yes, Lamar needs help, but those guys aren't going to go as fast in the draft as someone like Bateman. But again, like I'm surprised with OA.
Yeah. And I think that the whole draft for Baltimore, we'll talk about days 2 and 3 here in the second and third segments. It just didn't seem like they were very high on this tackle class in general. Obviously, they had a few guys they liked. Alex Leatherwood reportedly wouldn't have made it past Baltimore at 27, but they ended up getting their guy in Alejandro Villanueva, not a draft pick, a veteran. And it seems like now the Ravens have an offensive line that is, one, physically imposing. They're huge. But two, can protect Lamar Jackson and help the run game out as well. Strong run blockers and strong pass blockers. So was it a shock to not see the Ravens take a tackle in the first round? You know, it depended on their board. And sure, Tevin Jenkins was very highly rated on a lot of people's boards. But at the end of the day, I think the Ravens got two very quality first-round picks. We're going to head into our first break, and when we return, we'll be getting into day 2 of the Ravens' 2021 draft class, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Hey, Ravens fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, text now and they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231231. That's DRAFT to 231231. 1231. Message and data rates may apply. And we return with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Lindsay Barta of Fox 43. And Lindsay, with the Ravens getting, you know, two very good first round prospects, they also, I believe, had to hit on the rest of their draft, and that started on day 2. Where the Ravens had to wait from their 31st pick in Adafe Owe all the way to 94, didn't have a second round pick, had to wait well into the third round to select their next player, and I think got a pretty good one in Ben Cleveland out of Georgia, a monster offensive lineman, a mauler in the run game. I think this was a home run pick. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I love it because Coach said big, strong, and powerful to describe him. He's 6'6", 357 pounds on all SEC first team. If they want to keep rushing, this is the perfect reason. He doesn't give up. He keeps going to the ball. He helps the Bulldogs over 2,000 yards rushing last year. This guy is just going to keep pushing that line. If Lamar wants to rush, he's got that lane to go. He's a smart player. And I just think this guy, if they know what they're doing with him and he's going to be a rookie. I know it's hard to say a rookie guard starting, but I think he's going to really make an impression and he's going to be that guy to really help Lamar, wherever it's Lamar rushing or it's anyone else wanting to rush.
Yeah. And that's the big part of it, because obviously the Ravens wanted to improve their offensive line heading into the 2021 season. They did not want that performance against the Buffalo Bills that happened in the divisional round to happen again. It was, you know, for lack of a better word, pretty embarrassing. There were a lot of times where Lamar Jackson was running for his life. The run game couldn't get going. A bad snap from his center got him concussed. So the Ravens did everything in their power to try to prevent that, signing guard Kevin Zeitler and drafting Cleveland and signing Villanueva as well. Moving Bradley Bozeman from left guard to center also, which I think is probably their plan right now, is also a very smart move. I think he profiles a bit better over there. But for Cleveland in general, I mean, this is somebody who has that, you know, I'm going to steal your soul mentality. Like, he's going to go out there and just put it all on the field, not let anybody get to the quarterback. And I think it was a great pick. And John Harbaugh kind of said, you know, we were sweating it out waiting for him. We didn't think he was going to get there. I was saying, can we trade up for him? But the Ravens get their guy at pick number 94. And at 104, this was a bit of a controversial one for a lot of people at the end of the third round. Brandon Stevens, the defensive back out of SMU, played cornerback in college, but that's not all he played. He started off at UCLA playing running back for 2 years, then transferred to SMU where he started to play cornerback. Great athletic profile, but a very raw athlete, very raw defensive back. It seems like the Ravens might try to move him to safety. Lindsay, did the value that the Ravens got here surprise you at all? What did you think of this pick?
It was a little surprising, but if you just take what you just said, he's a raw talent, meaning they can do anything with this guy. And I just want to really note real quick, he was a walk-on when he went to SMU. He left UCLA, walked on, earned a scholarship, and started 23 games. I think that says a lot about his character and just his work ethic. The raw talent that he gives the Ravens, or that he will give the Ravens, I can just see it wherever they really need it, whether it's a safety or cornerback.
Yeah, and Lindsay, for the Ravens, this was something where it really wasn't a doubt of mine that the Ravens were going to invest in their secondary, because they love their secondary. And I think that it's something where Baltimore had a choice and a decision to make. I think a lot of teams were a lot higher on Brandon Stevens than was alluded to in the pre-draft process. And I think part of it was just people didn't really know who he was. You know, it was a surprise pick. But for Baltimore, for example, you know, they have the 104, the number 104 pick, and they next pick at 131. If there's a team, if, you know, 27 other teams don't like Brandon Stevens, and then a couple of them do, if the Philadelphia Eagles are high on him and they have the 108th overall pick, they're going to take him, and the Ravens don't have their guy in Brandon Stevens. So if they thought that Brandon Stevens was not going to make it to their next pick, they're like, all right, we have to secure a guy we want, a guy we're high on, a guy we believe we can develop. And so the Ravens ended up taking him. Was it a bit of a reach from a talent perspective? You know, maybe. Taking a guy who's only played 2 years at corner, you know, you want to develop him. That's, you know, I completely understand that. It's hard to have an initial reaction to a pick. I certainly had that initial reaction as well. But the more I look at it, the more I can say the Ravens, their deepest position on the roster, it's the secondary. And so they can develop him in the way they want. He can learn under great talents. And I think that for Baltimore, it was a solid pick, a bit of a reach, but still a solid one. But Lindsay, before we head into our final break, I do want to ask you about the stuff I talked about at the top of the segment, which was the Ravens not having a second round pick and having to wait so long. And so kind of trickling back into day one, were you shocked at all that the Ravens actually didn't move back from number 31 or move up from number 94 to get an extra second round pick? Because this team, they are on record saying we did not like not having a second round pick. So many guys fly off the board, and this draft was no exception. It was almost kind of torture to watch, you know, these guys, these quality players go off the board in the second round. Did that surprise you at all?
Yes, a little bit, but the Ravens know what they're doing. They're a smart team. They're not just going to pick to pick a guy. Just like you said with Brandon Stevens, they knew they wanted him, so they took him. But I mean, to have two in the first round, I think that's what really benefited them. But to not have anybody in the second, I think, yes, you're going to have players jump off the board like you did, but I think that's only going to make your roster stronger because you know exactly who you're wanting and who you're getting.
Yeah, and I think part of that, Lindsay, is also, you know, they don't have to trade capital to do so. Obviously, trading back from 31, they would have probably gained it. But then they probably don't get it off Aoye because it seemed like in that range was probably where it was going to go. The Ravens were very high on him. So, you know, it's trusting their board and saying, all right, do we have enough players highly rated enough on our board to say, you know, we can kind of wait it out, see who falls to us. And the Ravens seem to have a bigger draft board than most just because of the fact that, you know, what Eric DaCosta was saying was, you know, we've talked to 200 players. We have 200 players on our board. You know, it's very big amount of number for guys. So I think the Ravens, it was a bit of a shock to me to not see them pick up that draft capital, especially at the back half of the first round moving into the second. But as you mentioned, the Ravens know what they're doing. They've done this for years. They have been competitive for years. They've been, you know, killing the draft for years. So I think that for the Ravens, this was fine to not, you know, end up getting a second round pick. We're going to head into our final break. And when we return, we'll be talking about the four players the Ravens selected on day three of the 2021 draft. So stay tuned for that. And we'll be back soon. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their run to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Ryander often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to TLS, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked out in there, how'd you hear about us box so they know we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back, our final segment here of this Locked On Ravens episode with Lindsay Barda of Fox 43. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still here with you as well. And Lindsay, the Ravens adding four new players on day three, so a draft class of eight. And at 131, I think this was a best player available pick in Tylan Wallace, a receiver that honestly just should not have been there. There have been concerns with Wallace and his knee, but the player that he is, people profile him to a Steve Smith Sr., stands at 5'11", a very scrappy outside receiver, can go up and catch contested footballs. Now, I was talking about for months that the Ravens were not going to take two wide receivers, and in a matter of days, they just shattered that. And my reasoning was because now what the Ravens are faced with is a seven deep roster room, or wide receiver room, which in reality, their offense probably only allows them to keep six, so now it's going to be a battle most likely between Miles Boykin and James Prochet for that final wide receiver spot. What did you think overall of the pick for Tylan Wallace, and were you surprised that the Ravens added not one, but two wide receivers in this draft?
Not at all. I think they really want to expand their weapons for Lamar, be able to have a choices to choose from come making their roster. This is just under another player that really has the agility to cut, and two seasons under his offensive coordinator, Mike Yurcich, way back when he first started as a freshman and sophomore, is because it was his best season. Mike Yurcich is such a offensive mastermind that any player that he has, he's going to develop into another great, outstanding player. And the Ravens, like we just keep saying, they're another development team. So this kid, Wallace, is just going to explode, I think. He's going to be able to get his spot on the roster. His junior and senior years were good, but they weren't great. He didn't reach 1,000 yards receiving, but with the right coach, and which is Greg Roman, I think he's going to be able to be that guy, be that rookie guy to go to with Bateman.
Yeah, and Greg Roman will have no shortage of weapons. Lamar Jackson will have no shortage of weapons. The Ravens, I think, are going to move more towards a passing offense in 2021. Their draft, I think, has indicated that to me. Some of what they've been saying in press conferences has, you know, kind of given me that indication as well. So I think that for Baltimore, having guys who can win on the outside is important. The Ravens, I think, last year had too many slot-type players playing on the outside. They never really had those guys who would go up, catch contested footballs, be aggressive with it. Now they have two in Rashad Bateman and Tylan Wallace, not to mention Sammy Watkins, who has a bit of a different skill set but can still play on the outside as well. Now you can move guys like Marquise Brown to the inside, where I think he's a better fit. You can move Devin Duvernay to the inside. He is primarily a slot guy as well. If James Prochet makes it, he's a slot guy as well. So the Ravens now, instead of having so many inside guys but not a lot of outside guys, they have a good balance, and Wallace only contributes to that. But Lindsay, the Ravens investing in their secondary again at pick number 160, selecting Sean Wade, the cornerback out of Ohio State. Now, Sean Wade has a bit of an interesting story, a phenomenal 2019 season. We've talked about those 2019 seasons a bit here already on the show. But Sean Wade is someone who, I mean, literally, if he had just stayed opted out, because he did opt out for the 2020 college football season at first, he would have most likely been a late first, early mid second round pick, but decides to come back, play football, help his teammates, try to win another national championship, moves to the outside. He also said he was dealing with a lot, you know, personal problems, injuries. And he ended up not having a great year and kind of, I think, assured teams that he was more of a slot cornerback. So he falls to Baltimore, pick number 160 in the fifth round. I think this was tremendous value. What are your thoughts on the pick?
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he didn't have the year that he did in 2019. I mean, who knows what he did in the offseason, especially if he knew that he was going to opt out. If you're planning already not ready to play in 2020, your training is completely different. So maybe that's what played a factor. But I mean, the guy had 91 career tackles. He was the first Ohio State player to win a Tatum Woodson Big Ten DB type award. And it didn't matter the team. He was just a baller, especially against one of the top teams, which is Clemson. He had seven tackles against Clemson. He's a smart player, but needs to have confidence in himself. It almost seemed like when he was playing, not necessarily against other teams like Alabama, especially in the national championship, but he seemed a little timid. And I don't know if that played a factor in his training or in if he had a lingering injury, but he just seemed a little timid this past season.
Yeah, and it's a good point, Lindsay. I don't know what Sean Wade's mindset was. I do agree with you in the fact that, you know, when you're kind of set on opting out, it kind of, I think, might change with your whole mindset a little bit of like, all right, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to prepare for the draft and just be done with college football. But then you have that change of heart and your mind has to kind of shift back into, all right, we're going to go play a football season here. And it wasn't, you know, this full football season based off of what happened with the pandemic and everything with the Big Ten. But for Wade, the Ravens, I think, view him as that nickel cornerback option. They might try him out at free safety a little bit. But at the end of the day, I think this was a great pick, another great value pick, and now he gets to learn under some of the best secondary players in the entire NFL, which I think is huge for his development, especially for someone who, you know, and hopefully there are no injuries in the Ravens secondary, but if there are, then maybe he'll have to step up and play a bit. So having as much experience, you know, learning from those guys is huge. But Lindsay, next at 171, Dalen Hayes, the edge is the selection. We talked about another edge player in the first round in Adafe Owe, the Ravens doubling up at the position with Dalen Hayes. A Ravens fan has grown up rooting for the Ravens. They're his favorite team. It's been a huge heartwarming story that's been put out over the last couple of days with Dalen Hayes, but a good prospect. He's someone who does it all as an edge player, a bit raw as a pass rusher, but can set the edge very well and drop back into coverage. So this was more maybe of a developmental pick for me, but I still liked it.
Yeah, he maximizes every opportunity that he has. I think he's a very, very good fit, and especially a good fit in the 3-4 hybrid that the Ravens usually typically do. And I just think they're going to be able to have this guy really help down the stretch in the rotation. The less tired, you won't see the defense really struggle like they did going into the playoffs. They just seemed like they were getting so worn out when it came to playoff time. So I'm really hoping that having two edge rushers and just helping to build that defense will really help the defense just be able to energize themselves and keep going throughout the entire season. He also didn't have the most crazy great stats, but his Senior Bowl, just like Owe had the Pro Bowl to bounce off of. He had the Senior Bowl that really showed what he was made of. And I think that's what really turned heads for the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens do value that stuff a lot. And that he was able to up his stock in a way that I think really helped the Ravens kind of get their eyes on him, hone in on him. And he said that he didn't really have his first call with the Ravens until earlier in the pre-draft week leading up to the draft. So he was, you know, a little surprised, but it seems like he landed in the exact opportunity that I think is going to work great for him, because he'll be able to hone in on those skills. And if the Ravens do decide to bring in a veteran edge rusher, whether it is Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, Ryan Kerrigan, he can learn under those guys and still be able to, I think, make somewhat of an impact, you know, in his rookie season. But it could take a couple weeks, maybe even a whole year, for him to really hone in on those skills. But finally, Lindsay, I think this was, I would call this the most controversial selection that the Ravens made in this entire 2021 draft class, taking a fullback at pick number 184. Now, it said fullback slash tight end, so I think that he's trying to kind of transition into more of a versatile player, but he already is one. He plays on the defensive side of the ball as well as literally a Patrick Ricard clone, which I think is the reason a lot of people were caught off guard by this selection, because the Ravens already have a Pro Bowler at fullback in Patrick Ricard, and it seems like they maybe could have invested in the offensive line again or taken a defensive line prospect. How did you view this one?
Yeah, this one I kind of questioned. I'm glad they waited to the last pick for us to question a pick too. He was a surprising pick, but I'm really curious to see what they do, if they're going to move him or they just drafted him to hopefully maybe trade him or just do something different with him down the stretch. Like you said, he reminds me of Ricard, split between a fullback and tight end, or I don't know if he's just going to be an extra blocker when it comes to utilizing him. He's a hybrid player, like you said, but I just don't know about this pick. I really don't know.
Yeah, there are so many things the Ravens could do with this pick, but it seems like they could have maybe gotten him in undrafted free agency, or they could have maybe traded back into the draft. And again, you know, everybody's draft board is different, so the value of these players, I think, is not as well known as everybody thinks they are. But the Ravens, Patrick Ricard is a free agent after the 2021 season, and I think maybe part of their mindset here is if Patrick Ricard goes to another team and gets an offer from another team that we just can't match and it's too expensive, we have the Lamar Jackson extension coming up and Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. If we can't afford to pay Patrick Ricard what he's going to get on the open market, you know, kind of developing Ben Mason for a year and being able to use him in a bunch of different ways in the same ways that Patrick Ricard is used, maybe we'll just have to cut our losses with Ricard and say, you know, this was great, but we just can't afford to pay you that. And then they have, you know, not so much of a drop off in Ben Mason, where he can play and fill the same role that Ricard does. So I agree, Lindsay. This pick was a bit of a head scratcher to me. But the Ravens, again, they trusted their board. He was obviously very high on their board. And the Ravens, I think, are going to want to utilize him in a lot of different ways. But overall, Lindsay, I think the Ravens, again, a very solid draft. If you had to give a grade for all 3 days of this draft, all 8 prospects that the Ravens selected in this one, what would you give them?
I'll give them an 8. I can't give them a 10-0 just because of that last pick. But you know what's really surprising to me and kind of what I noticed? They picked 4 Big Ten players. And Big Ten was one of the only conferences that really had to rush to get things going. So it's kind of funny that they stuck with the Big Ten. I don't know. I know the Ravens are a developmental team, and that's why I can see them with all these picks. But, yeah, I got to stick with my gut, and I got to do an 8-0 on this one.
Yeah. The Big Ten is a conference that I think they really like. And I know that obviously John Harbaugh's brother Jim is the head coach over there at Michigan. And that could have something to do with the Michigan pipeline and probably the Ben Mason pick, to be honest. But Yeah, the Big Ten seems to be a Baltimore favorite, but I agree, Lindsay. You know, a 10 for me isn't really in the cards. I gave him a B+. That was my overall, you know, letter grade for them. Number, I mean, I'll get an 88. You know, they did get good value throughout the whole draft, but there were a couple of those head-scratching picks that we did talk about where it could have been like, well, could you have gone with another position and kind of rounded out the roster a bit more? Maybe, but I don't think any draft is going to be up to what any people think about it and have the expectations that anybody has for it. But Lindsay, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you so much for joining me here on the show. It was a pleasure, and hopefully as the season kind of creeps up on us, we'll be able to do more collaborations together.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks so much for having me. This was a blast. I hope to talk more Ravens with you.
Absolutely. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back here tomorrow, it'll be more Ravens talk from us, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.